John, I'd like to look at a verse in Psalm 40 first. Let us look to the Lord for just a moment. Loving Heavenly Father, once again we thank Thee for the fact that we're able to be gathered about Thy Word and about Himself. Small though the number might be, we just trust that each of us would receive a blessing from just delving in Thy Word, letting the Spirit of God speak to us. We trust that Thou would give us open and receptive hearts, that we might glean much from Thy precious Word. These things we ask in His name and for His sake. Psalm 40, the 7th verse. Well, I'll go to the 6th verse. Sacrifice and offering Thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast Thou opened or digged or pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offering hast Thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do Thy will, O my God, yea, Thy law is within my heart. And then we think of John, the 5th chapter, 39, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. The 1st chapter of John. There's so much here, and I've got a number of things written down, verses particularly. We have a lot of verses that we'd have to go through. Some we may look up, others I have written down. Try to save a little time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness overcame or comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That will suffice for the reading, the portion. Now there's a big difference in this book and the Synoptic Gospels. The Synoptics we find is the writers bring out, the first one they bring out Jesus Christ as the King of Israel. And then we find Mark brings him out as the perfect servant. And then Luke brings him out as the perfect man. Here we don't find any genealogies. Just like in the servant, there's no need for genealogy. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. We find in the very first book, or the first verse of the Bible, in the beginning God. Essentially, we're finding the same thing here. In the beginning, God was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The very word we find, if it were in the Greek, it would be logos. And what does the word do to begin with? What do we use words for? To communicate. We find that in here we find God communicating to man. He's teaching man of God. Now, man can't teach man of God. Only God can teach man of God. So we find here God, the written word and the living word, is communicating to man. Now, there are seven things here that I want to mention. Then there are another seven. We find in the first five verses of this portion, we find that we'll find these seven things in Revelations 21 and 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In another place, we find he knows all things. He knows the beginning from the end. And then secondly, in Proverbs 8, 27 to 31, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. Now we remember when we went over, most of us, I don't know if Brother Richard and Sister Mary were, Rosemary were here at the time when Ham had us teaching over at that, where was it? Richmond Center, wasn't it? Richmond Center. And these people that are talking about evolution, you would say, well, now how can they talk about it? They weren't there. They can't prove a thing for what they've seen. Only God was there. In like manner, only God was there in the beginning. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. I heard another man make a statement years ago, that God the Father wasn't God the Father any longer than God the Son was God the Son. Just like you parents, you can't be a mother or father until a child comes into the world, to begin with. So the one couldn't be a father, the father any longer, and the other could be the son. Then thirdly, 1 John 5 and 20, and we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true. Can you imagine that? We're in Christ Jesus, and he is not. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. This is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. This is what this is all about. In Colossians 1, 16 and 17, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. He was before all things, and in him all things consist. Fourthly, in Malachi 3 and 6, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. We're not Jews, but we're part of this world, we're part of his creation. And it wasn't for the fact that he doesn't change, we would be consumed. Ephesians 3 and 9, and to make all men see what is in the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Sixth, 1 John 5 and 12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. And seventh, and we'll find this, if we look at verse 14, we read that, the last one. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And if we would go to Isaiah 48:16, come near unto me, hear this. None of these things have been done in secret of old. There's a portion I'm missing out of it. But the last part of it is, the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. There's the triune God right there. Revelations 19:13, along with that, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. At the first of John, and at the latter part of Revelation, we find the Word of God. And then a quick analysis of the first 13 verses would be, relationship of Christ to time in the beginning. Well, what does that tell us? He's eternal. Now, this isn't the beginning of miracles or the beginning of his work here or his walk here or the beginning of the world. This was the beginning, whatever that was. We don't understand it. We can't comprehend it. So that he was in the beginning. He was eternal. His relationship to the Godhead. It says he was with God. Well, then if he was with God, he was one of the Trinity. We find the Jehovah's Witnesses and others try to make out one God. The Holy Spirit is but a power instead of a person. We go to John in the 5th chapter, 14th chapter, 16th chapter. He's always referred to as a person. He will do this. He will bring this to your remembrance, etc. You don't talk about a power like that. When the Lord God was speaking in the beginning, he said, let us make God, Elohim, more than two. He wasn't talking to himself. He wasn't talking to the angels. They were talking amongst themselves, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son. Then thirdly, his relationship to the Trinity. God was the Word. If he was the Word, then he was the revealer. The revealer of God. The revealer of truth. His relationship to the universe. All things were made by him. Then he was the creator himself. And sixth, his relationship to men. He was their light. And that light was our life. His relationship to John the Baptist. John was a witness. If we go farther into the chapter, we find that John says that he was preferred before me. For he was before me. How could that be? The Lord Jesus, as far as his physical birth, he was 6 months younger than his cousin John. But he was in the beginning. John came into being when he was born. Unto us a son is born. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. He was already a son. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Our little minds, they're simple verses to most of us. All of us can quote them. And yet they're so deep we can't fathom them. The reception Christ met when he came here in verses 10 and 13. The world knew him not. His own, that is Israel, received him not. A company born of God received him. The world, that's the Gentiles in general, didn't know him. The Jews, his own people, didn't want him. They believed not. The Gentiles didn't know. The Jews did know. And the more we look into the Gospels, the more we realize that the religious leaders knew exactly who he was. We had something, I was speaking with someone just recently, and it had to do with this rabbi that died over in the Middle East not long ago, 6 months, 7 months, or a year ago. It was purported that they thought that he was the Messiah. Well, I don't think any could prove he was born in Bethlehem. They couldn't prove his genealogy. He didn't ride into Jerusalem on the foal, the colt of an ass. And yet, these people would take this rabbi as the possible Messiah over and above the Christ of Calvary. He fulfilled all the prophecies that had to do with him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Well, if he was with them, then he was one of them. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Here we find an unchangeable relationship. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Our little mind just can't grasp that. We can't grasp the depth of it. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know, the world, even those that know nothing of Christ, have a light. You know, we don't stop and think of that. But every man, unless there's something wrong with him or her mentally, they know right from wrong. Even the Aborigines know there's a God. And most of them know that there is, if they have many gods, that there is a supreme God. Just think of there in Athens, the unknown God. They knew all, supposedly knew all about all these others, but they didn't know anything about the unknown God. They knew where there was someone that held all these things in space. I can't remember whether it was Plato, one of the great thinkers way back. He made a statement that he hoped that the God of the universe one day, through the Logos, through the Word, would show men the truth. Now this is a man before Christ was ever born. But he knew, and he was a pagan, he knew there was something beyond what they had. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness. He came to proclaim, and he did. He proclaimed time and again that he wasn't the prophet, he wasn't the Christ, he wasn't Isaiah's. He came to make way, straight the way of the Lord. He came to prepare them for it. As we go farther down into the chapter, we find what happens. His own disciples leave him. He must increase and I must decrease, or vice versa. I can't remember just how he worded it. But you and I, that should be our case. The Lord first, everything else second. I was talking to a doctor, very good doctor, from what the impression I got over at the VA hospital. And I mentioned something about art. And he'd said that he'd like to have me go down and build 50 houses down in New Guinea in a 3-month period. And would it be practical for me to go? That was the question, because there's no VA hospital down there, see? Well, he said to begin with, first thing we'd do, we're going to get this straight with the prison zone. And we'd have to go in and talk with them in case anything happened. And he said, I hope they're paying you good money. He said, they're paying enough, I'd go too. See, that's what the world is set up on today. Position and money. Only thing is, they can't take 1 cent of it. No. If we live to be 150 years old, what is that next to eternity? All the money in the world isn't worth it. The rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man, some say it's a parable. But any time the Lord used a parable, he never used names. It's always a certain man, a certain man. In this case, he used a name. One name. But whether it be a parable or not, Christ is the truth. Anything he says is the truth. And that man, being the case, is 2,000 years now, or roughly at 2,000 years, and he hasn't got the drop of water he asked for. Just think of that. And what is 2,000 years? He hasn't even started. And yet these men would turn their backs on Christ Jesus. They fully knew who he was. Let us look at where is it in Luke, where they were Gamaliel, or not Gamaliel, the high priest, Ananias, Caiaphas, I think that's what it was. Didn't intend to bring this out. It was after the raising of Lazarus, regardless. And he said, it were for better for the nation that one man die for the nation. And the portion that he brings in our place, or the nation, and the nation, Rome would take from him. What did they put first? Our place. Their positions. And by the way, friends, neither of those two men had any right to the high priest position. They were placed there by Rome. The older man had been deposed, but he was still there at the side of, I believe it was his nephew. And they were the two that passed final judgment as far as the religious group was concerned on Christ Jesus. They were not to have a trial at night. They had the trial at night. They were not to pronounce a verdict for 24 hours after the trial. The verdict was pronounced before they ever had the trial. You can just see the farce of it all the way through. They wanted to get rid of him. But Gamaliel made a statement. I probably can find that the quicker. And this is a thought for the Jewish people. I think it's Acts, the 5th chapter. Gamaliel's counsel. Well, let's read the 31st verse, Acts 5:31. Him hath God exalted at his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obeyed him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay him. Then stood there up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel. Anybody know who he was? Paul's professor. Paul learned at the feet of Gamaliel. He was one of the greatest of the Jewish rabbis. I wouldn't be surprised we'll see him in glory. A teacher of the law, held in reputation among all the people, commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do is touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to nothing. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of registration, and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to nothing. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest perhaps ye be found even to fight against God. It's 2,000 years, and it's still going, the church. Now, granted, there's a lot of apostasy, but there are still a lot of brothers and sisters out there. And the shame of it is, some of them are getting caught up in the apostasy. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, and all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That's our position. You ever stop and think of that? That's what we should be doing. We should be bearing light. We find in Acts 1 and 8 another term that's used for us, witnesses. We're all witnesses. What does a witness do? A lot of them get up and they say, I think this, I think that, I think the other thing. It isn't what you or I think. What does God say? What do we know from the Word of God? That should be our answer. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. We can't take that in either. When he came into the world, he was born in a stable. Bill McDonald says a stinking stable. The stink of the animals. Well, I've seen some fancy places that were worse than stables. And the kind of people that were there were worse than the animals that were in the stable. But nonetheless, he came to the lowest position. And yet he had the angels announce him to the shepherds that were in the field. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, or believed him not. That's what it amounted to. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children or the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, to those that trust in him, who were born not of blood. That means the natural birth, a physical birth. Nor the will of the flesh. That means the energy of the flesh. And you know, we've got a lot of brothers and sisters out there. I guess that we get hit with it sometimes. We want to be doing, want to be doing, want to be doing. What was Mary's case? She sat at the feet of Jesus. Martha was one of those that wanted to be doing. And Martha was one of them that ultimately ended up in the wrong place. Not that the Lord loved her any less. That was her makeup. But our place is to sit at the feet of Jesus. To learn from his word. Let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. So they're not born of the blood. That's the natural birth. Nor born of the will of the flesh. The energy of the flesh. Nor of the will of man. That's the intellect of man. And those in places of higher learning today, many places, well, for years and years, our brother Richard could probably attest to that too, have been trying to rationalize the Bible, trying to pull it down, and there's so many things that are put to the side, God didn't mean it, or it's not for this time. Brothers and sisters, if it was not for this time, the Bible would have told us it was not for this time. All things, not something. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature. None of us are going to be perfect in the sense of sinlessness or knowing everything, but we're going to be mature. We're going to be able to handle the stronger meat. Just like these wee guys here, if they stopped growing, we'd all be worried. Everybody would be worried. And yet we see children brought into the family of God and never see any growth. And everybody seems to be satisfied with the status quo. It shouldn't be. And yet many of them are satisfied with it. But I wonder if it's because they haven't been taught. I know one thing, part of it's because they're not in the book. Then verse 14, and the word was made flesh, or became flesh. The word ever existed, but the word became flesh, he became man. He took on flesh and bone and blood that he might die for us. When he left this scene, when he arose, what's the difference in that? There was no blood. Flesh and bone, that's what we hear. Prior to that, flesh and blood. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And this is what you and I are to speak. We're to be the lights for those we come in contact with. We're to be witnesses to those that we come in contact with. Titus 2:13. What are we supposed to be looking for? Looking for that blessed hope, the glorious return of our blessed, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's coming back. Maybe before the night's over. As far as we know, there's nothing to hinder him from coming for the church right now. The only thing that I know of that had to take place before Christ should come was Peter had to die. The Lord told Peter how he was going to die. But other than that, the saints all down through the centuries have been looking for the soon return of the Lord. Now all of these things that are happening in Israel, that has to do with Israel. It doesn't have to do with the church. The Lord can come for the church at any moment. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for that lovely man that came from Calvary, or from heaven to Calvary, for the fearful price that was paid that we might be redeemed. Not only redeemed, brought into the household of faith, but nurtured by the Spirit of God. And we thank Thee for the very word that we have. Our God saw to it that the word was prepared for us. We look at those saints of a bygone era that didn't have the word. We marvel at their faith. And yet we who have the very word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, still we become cold, we become indifferent, we become callous. And yet the wonderful Spirit of God deals with us and moves us back. All because of the love of the thrice holy God. Our hearts go out to Him who paid the fearful price for us. We think of those that have been laid aside, especially those from the household of faith. We ask, Father, if it's Thy mind and will that they might be raised up. There again, we ask that Thy will be done and not our own. And that each, regardless of situation, might realize that underneath are the everlasting arms, and that His grace is sufficient for us. Now we think of little Jonathan. We just trust that the injury is not serious. Whatever the case, Thou would guide and direct the medical people involved. Be with the family. We ask now that Thou would be with us. Take us to our several homes in safety. These things we ask in His name and for His sake. Amen.